We continue on our study, our conversations regarding relationships and association, walking with one another. Hallelujah. Alright. Our text again is Matthew's Gospel 28. Our Father, we're grateful for tonight. We ask you can receive revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that every mind here be flooded with light, questions get answered, areas that appear knotted together in our hearts, in our mind, in our understanding, are sorted out through the light of your word. We ask tonight that your word will proceed with your power to do. We ask every heart here is enabled upon hearing to act on your word. We're made much more wiser to see even precious gifts of one another and to walk with one another even as we walk with you. We ask this and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel quickly. Matthew 28. Hallelujah. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 and then in verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Are you reading your Bible? It is teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of your Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. So we said, Jesus brings to his disciples what we can describe as an hermeneutics, an explanation of the Old Testament. We've said this heavily, that Jesus is a teacher from the Old Testament. Inasmuch as Jesus was very much aware of the realities of his day, the influence, the exposure, Jesus was quite exposed. I mean, he had a knowledge of what was going on in his day, you know, and I'm talking about things that, for example, could have served as, you know, points of inspiration for what to teach or to use to explain God's counsel. Jesus was a kind of a teacher that stuck with the scriptures. He stuck with the scriptures. Now, we've said a while ago concerning this particular text that this is simply Matthew's explanation of what we can call a 40-day teaching. So, Jesus is teaching from the Old Testament books, and he teaches for 40 days. We see Luke, later on in the second part of his writing, the book of Acts chapter 1, you know, explains this in verse 2. You see, in verse 1, the former writers have I made, O Theophilus, of what that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in the which he was taken up. You see, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He was taken up. Not that he was taken away. He was taken up. You know, and those are two different things. You know, the when the concept of Jesus being taken up from amongst them, you know, must not be misconstrued as him being taken away. He was never taken away, but he was taken up, which describes how he was taken, you know, out of the natural world. Are we together? It is in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at the four gospels, you see the word gospel used in similar renderings, the word gospel, because the word gospel is synonymous to the word kingdom. Kingdom is synonymous to the word gospel. You know, they are synonymous terminologies. And then he says in verse 4, he says, being assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which seeth he you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So in verse 3, he says, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, Jesus was teaching. He was teaching. He was preaching concerning the kingdom of God for 40 days. Where was he teaching from? He was teaching from the Old Testament. You see that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, same Luke, you know, which was the first account, Luke 24, in 25. It is, O fools, slow of heart to believe what the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses. So, beginning at Moses had to do with the Old Testament. So, Jesus would teach from the Old Testament. Jesus would teach from the Old Testament. Whatever Jesus had to explain, whatever counsel Jesus had to explain, he would explain it from the Old Testament. It is I'm beginning at Moses and all the scriptures. It is all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He says, and as they drew near, in the village where they went, he says, it was made as though he would have gone further. Now, if you read on in verse 31 and 32, he says, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So, he had a custom of vanishing out of the sight since the resurrection. Did you see that? He had a custom of disappearing from their physical sight upon the resurrection. So definitely very similar to what we later saw in Acts 1 when he was taken up from their sight. So not that he was taken away from the world. Jesus was not taken away from the world, but he was taken away from the physical or the natural world. Are we together? So but look at verse 32 where my attention is. He says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? What was the conversation? While he opened to us the scriptures. So the conversation was the explanation of the scriptures. Through explanation, he opened the scriptures unto them. So this opening was not as you open your Bible now, you know, as you're opening your Bible. That's not what he's talking about. You know, it wasn't that, imagine that would be very funny, that Jesus was with them as they were walking, then he would just carry his Bible like this, and then their hearts would burn. Then they would walk for another 2 minutes, and their hearts would burn. That's nonsense. Are we together? Open the scriptures has to do with explanation. So he says, did not our hearts burn? It is while he talked with us. So the talk, the conversation, was what the letter explained as the opening of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So Jesus is a teacher from the Old Testament. We see the same thing in Matthew 1. Matthew, in writing about Jesus, goes to the Old Testament to establish the lineage, the plan of God concerning the seed of David, the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the same thing in Matthew, therefore, in 18, which is also been our text, when Jesus had, you know, to talk about relationships, forgiveness, you know, resolving relationship conflict, definitely he would also teach from the scriptures. So that shows you that there is a whole lot in scriptures that is wisdom for handling relationships. Are we together? So if spiritual development is growing in your understanding of the scriptures vis-a-vis the plan of God, that means as I get better in my understanding of the scriptures, I am literally going to be able to handle relationships better. And I told you that handling relationships has to do with fulfilling God's plan through the relationship. We said on Sunday that God has a plan, right? And that plan, you know, the plan of God is fulfilled, is carried out through the relationships, you know, that he has put around us. You know, we also said right from Thursday into Sunday that God's intention is that all relationships begin to function how what? Supernatural. That's God's intention. Is that relationships begin to function supernatural. Even if they are natural relationships. What are examples of natural relationships we have? In Matthew 19, it says father-mother. Father relationship, mother relationship is a natural relationship. Are we together? You know, if you've been around in church, you would have had me use words like natural relationships, then supernatural relationships. You would have had me use those words severally. Natural relationships, supernatural relationships, natural relationships, supernatural. So, what are supernatural relationships? What are natural relationships? Natural relationships are relationships, you know, that are formed based on the natural things we do on the earth. You know, there are people that will come along, or people that we come across while, you know, engaging the natural part of living. Are we together? natural relationships. Like father, mother is natural relationship. You know, and now when you say father, it can be I am your father or this is my father, right? Right? Alright. So you can also have mother, you know, well, this is my mother or I am your mother. So the mother can be the person or the person can have a mother. Are we together? So father, mother relationships, then brothers, sisters, relationships. Those are natural relationships. Natural relationships. Friends. You know, friends, acquaintances, siblings, you have cousins, you know, bloodline. Those are natural relationships. Their relationships because of academics are also natural relationships. Like, you know, I saw some of you were having matriculation some hours ago, and then you had these pictures flying about, and then you had all these different kind of poses and all that. And that's fine. That is natural relationship. Are we together? You have classmates, course mates, you know, your friends at the place of work, colleagues at work, husband, wife, those are natural relationships. What is the vinyl mentioned? Neighborhood, right? Neighborhood. Now in the neighborhood, you can have my neighbor or my landlord or my tenant. Isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? What else can it be in the neighborhood? My tenant, my landlord, right? Or my neighbor. Amen? Those are natural relationships. Natural relationships. They are associations that we interact with regularly, built on natural things. Regular associations or interactions that we have with people, those are natural friendships. So there is also supernatural relationship. Supernatural relationship are relationships that God has brought our way. I call them divine relationships. Now sometimes what you might call divine is not necessarily divine. So we have to understand what exactly divine means within the context of the scripture. What does divine mean? You know, sometimes in our natural engagements, as we play around, we interact with one another, we say things like, wow, this is divine. This is divine. You know, a friend, something probably happens with someone, and then maybe coincidentally, you say, wow, this is divine. This is divine. You're trying to sort something out in your department, or you're trying to sort something out in town, and then something just happened, and then you met somebody who became useful by chance. You just say, wow, this is divine. And we say that many times because we believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. We believe in divine providence. We believe in divine provision. And that's okay. So we can say, oh, wow, this is divine. But the concept of divine, what is divine, goes deeper than that. The concept of what is divine, you know, goes deeper than how you feel or how a particular event makes you feel. Are we together, church? Are we together? Maybe one of these days I'll talk about supernatural relationships. You know, so it goes deeper. The concept of divine. You say this is divine. Wow, this is supernatural. Wow, this is unusual. This is divine. The concept of divine, of what is divine, goes beyond, you know, the euphoria, the excitement of a moment, or the shock, you know, you're shocked. Ah, are you sure this is natural? I couldn't have arranged this. This is divine. This is divine. Are we together? Are we together? This is divine. So it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. So divine relationships are men and women, or you call it boys and girls. They are men and women that God Himself has brought our path. And they are attached to His plans and purposes. Now, one thing about supernatural relationships is that supernatural relationships helps us to fulfill God's plan in a stronger measure than natural relationships. God to use his natural relationships, right? 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 All right. So, there's no one who is not born of a woman, right? Good. So, by two people, and now when we say, look at what I just said now. I said, there's no one that is not born of what? Of a woman. But you understand that it wasn't just a woman who self-produced the child. There's a man, right? Good. So, the fact that a man and a woman is involved in the bringing forth of a human being into this world, amen? Like you see in Genesis chapter 4, it says Cain knew his wife. Adam knew his wife, and they brought forth a child and called him what? Cain. Praise God. And Adam knew his wife. Adam knew his wife. Just like Abraham and Sarah also brought forth who? Isaac. Are we together? So man and woman are involved in the bringing forth of another man or woman to this earth. Now, does that sound like part of God's plan? Does that sound like part of God's plan? Yep. That sounds, like that's part of God's plan. So God uses those natural relationships. At least God has used them to bring you into the world. Is it clear? So God uses natural relationships. Is that clear? God uses natural relationships. So we don't despise natural relationships. God uses natural relationships. Tell your neighbor, say, God uses natural relationships. Did you see that? Did you see that? God uses natural relationships. So, but look at this. We said that God wants the natural relationship to begin to serve divine purpose. He wants all of our relationships to begin to serve divine purpose. And that's God's plan. Where all our relationships begin to serve divine purpose. Now, there are also supernatural relationships, okay? Okay? And like I told you, I said, the supernatural relationship helps us to serve and fulfill God's plan in a stronger measure, in a greater way. A very good example of supernatural relationship is the relationship between Samuel and Eli. Or the relationship between Saul and Samuel. Or the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. Is it those were not natural relationships? Is it clear? They were relationships that were formed because of God's plan for the earth. And because of the role that He wants you to play in His plan. Those are relationships. Those are supernatural relationships. Relationship between Jesus and the apostles. Praise God forevermore. Those are supernatural relationships. Relationship between what's his name now? Abraham. Abraham, are we together? Are we together? And who now? Abraham and who? Lord, is that a supernatural relationship? Are we together? So all the Melchizedek, they have found a supernatural friend for Abraham. Praise God. Praise God. Alright. So you see Paul and Timothy. Supernatural relationship. Joshua and Caleb. Moses and Joshua. Supernatural relationship. Moses and Joshua. Are we together? Now, in all these examples that I just gave, you find out that some of them descend the relationship, some did not. Elisha did. Are we together? Definitely, you can say that, you know, Abraham and Lot, are we together? But if you look at it critically, if you observe that association very well, you observe that Lot did not descend. He didn't discern it. He didn't respond to it positively. Lot. So he got into trouble. And now you know that Abraham's relationship with him was supernatural, or was meant to be supernatural, was that, you know, Abraham now began to pray. He now began to intercede. Let me use that word. He began to supplicate for his deliverance. So through Abraham's prayers, he was now delivered. Did you see that? And that's supernatural. That's one of the things that supernatural relationship does. They preserve God's plan for our lives. That's why we must esteem them higher. Praise the Lord. Paul and Timothy. Paul and Titus. Praise God forevermore. Now you see the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Those were natural relationships. But the moment they came into the ministry of Jesus, their relationship now became what? Supernatural. Did you see that? You know, I gave you an illustration yesterday about Moses, Miriam and Aaron, right? That, you know, Aaron and Miriam, they were siblings. Natural relationship. But the moment the ministry of Moses comes in, that ministry changed that relationship from being merely natural into what? Supernatural. So it shows you where God is going with that relationship. He wants it to become supernatural. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Now, can two people get married and it wasn't a supernatural relationship and then it becomes supernatural relationship? Yes. Yes. Are we together? Yes. And then it becomes supernatural relationship because of salvation. So the moment relationships come into Christ, did you see that? It goes bigger than merely natural relationship. Did you see? Did you see? Should we stay on that a bit? Look at Philemon. Quickly. The book of Philemon is just before Hebrews. After Titus. Titus is after Timothy. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Are you there? Now, you know, it's Paul's custom that he is going to greet. It's a letter, right? So, it's a letter. Now, if you read verse Philemon, verse, I want you to just follow. We're just going to read and then you see something. He says in verse 1, let's read together. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our what? And so, was it a supernatural relationship? Fellow laborer means a co-minister of the gospel. A co-minister. A co-minister of the gospel. So Philemon was a co-minister of the gospel. Wow. So Paul's writing to him. Paul's writing to him. So look at verse 2. And to beloved Apphia and what? Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your what? In your house. Now, look at this. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy. Are you following me? And consolation in your what? Lord, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. Who is the brother there? Philemon. So Philemon was someone who blessed the saints. He was a good Christian. Now look at verse 9. Or verse 8 now. You know, I want you to read with me so that you understand what we are reading. I really want you to follow. Are you following? Let's read verse 8 together quickly. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy you, that which is what? Convenient. Yet for what? Did you know the meaning of verse 8? It says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee, that which is what? Convenient. In other words, well, you're in Christ, I'm in Christ. If it's about what I know is convenient for you, I would have been bold to tell you to do it. What he's building a case. You know how Paul talks. Now, he now said, look at it. He says, yet for love's sake, okay, I rather beseech what? You. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is not what? Convenience. Do you see that? What I'm about to tell you is not convenient. Look at that. Look at it. He says, being such an one as what? Paul the aged, and now also a what? A prisoner of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. I beseech you for my son, Onesimus, who I have begotten in my what? So, was it Paul's natural relationship? No. Rather, Paul said, I begot him in my what? In other words, he got saved under Paul's ministry while Paul was in prison. Did you see that? Alright. So, now look at verse 11. So it says, I'm begging you because of what? Because of who? Onesimus. Now what about Onesimus? Everyone, read 11. Which in time past was to do what? Oh, but now? Verse 12. Whom I have sent again. Thou therefore what? Receive him, that is my own bowels. You know, in Yoruba, they would say something like, Fiji me. I hope you understand your bad boy. When someone has committed offense, and the person he committed offense against wants to deal with him, the person now comes to beg you, that you should please beg the other person. Say, and now say, okay, what he did, put it to my account. Did you see that? That is forgiving. You know, story got to share Fijian. That is, let it be as though I am the one that did it. Did you see that? Concerning Onesimus. It is in time past was not what? Profitable. But now what? It's profitable to you and to me. Now look at verse 13. Whom I would have what? Retained with me. I would have told him to stay with me, that in your stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of what? Of the gospel. I see what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that if I dare him to stay with me, you know, he would have been as useful as you to say, so he's a good boy. He's a good boy. So Onesimus, Philemon will be reading and say, Onesimus as useful to you. Wow, that means he hasn't changed. As you read the letter, I will look at Onesimus will be standing beside him. So as you read the letter, he just he'll put down his glasses and say, and then read again. Something like that. Did you get it? So look at that. He says, look at it though. But without thy what? Mind, would I do what? Nothing. That thy benefit should not be as it were of what? Necessity, but willing. So Onesimus was a servant to Philemon. He still actually added that he stole certain things. destroy certain things and run away. So in that far distance that he ran to, away from the site, that is, if Philemon had caught him, probably had gone to jail. So now discover that he knew Philemon. You know Philemon? Say yes. Who is it to you, sir? It was my master. What happened? This happened and this happened. I stole this and I did this and I did this and I did this. That was why our God said this. The following morning before daybreak. That's why I just. That's why I've been here for so number of years. All right, come. Don't worry. Have you changed? Yes, sir. Sir, I've been with you for the last day. It was a really terrible thing. In my life, never steal again. If you can give me if God can give me a second chance. Sir, I'm now born again. You're right. Don't worry, I'll talk to you. He's my son too. You see that? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Relationships. So look at it. He now said, for perhaps, verse 15, he therefore departed for what? A season. So treat him as though he traveled. Can you see Paul? He said that you should receive him for what? Ever. So treat him as though he just traveled so he can return and be with you fully. Next verse. Not now as a what? But above a servant, a what? A brother, beloved. Especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Did you see that? Did you see that? If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If I have wronged you or owe you anything, if he has wronged you or owe you what? Anything, put that to my account. I have written it with my own hand. I will repay. You see that? The feeling was going to be that. Pastor will repay. Look at the next one now. Say, look at Paul. Look at the next one now. Say, even though I do not say to you how you also owe me even your own life. Did you see that? Yes, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my. Shall you already say, refresh me, boy? Say, refresh my bow well again. Having confidence in your. That is, I know you. You know, when we are praying, sometimes we want to hook God. Not say, thank you because you are going to do what you're going to do. Find a way for him to do it before I say thank you. You want to hook God. So, what is he doing here? He said, having confidence in your obedience, I wrote to you, knowing that you will also do more than I say. Did you see that? But will that prepare me also a lodging? For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you, because he was in prison. Did you see that? Now, you could, you know, if you go over this text alone in your room, there's a whole lot you can pick up from the text, right? So, but look at what I'm picking up is that you now see how a natural relationship came into Christ and became what? Supernatural. Did you see that? Became supernatural. Came into Christ and became supernatural. Glory to God forevermore. Came into Christ and became what? Supernatural. Became supernatural. Praise God forevermore. That yourself. Became supernatural. Glory to God. A natural relationship. So we said, that is where God is taking what? Things. So we can have people who were not born again. They were not born again. And then they get married, or they got married, They were not born again. That was natural relation. Now, when the couple now gets saved, the relationship, God wants it to become what? A supernatural. God wants it to become supernatural. Praise God. That means, if I have a business colleague, is that a natural relationship? Is that a natural relationship? God wants it to become what? Supernatural. Now, what is the first guarantee that, you know, what's the first step to it becoming supernatural? Or maybe I didn't ask the question well. I know you have some things in your mind. Some of my have been thinking, yes, we'll get born again. Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that you are the one. You are the one that determines. The way you handle the relationship. So the way Lot handled the relationship with Abraham frustrated God's supernatural plan. Who else? Now, look at Jesus' relationship with Peter. Was it supernatural? Was it supernatural? Yes. Now look at his relationship with Judas Iscariot. Was it supposed to be supernatural? But was it supernatural? No. Did you see that? Did you see that? Now, you know, at the earlier point of this study, we saw Barnabas and Paul, right? Saul and Barnabas. Was that relationship, was it supernatural? But was there a point where, you know, it was badly impacted? Because there was conflict. So the way we handle relationships affects God's plans. I told you then, I said, the relationship is bigger than you, right? It's bigger. So you are now seeing how it is bigger. God wants it to be supernatural from the way you handle it. A classmate. Supernatural. Did you get it? Did you get it? Supernatural. Supernatural. God wants it to be supernatural. So, now look at this. So look at this. You now see, are you with me? Are you with me? Right. Is everyone with me? Is everyone with me? So look at this. By now you should see that that's actually the basis of marital choice. Make choices in the midst of the what? The supernatural come. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Yeah. So, you meet someone, or someone meets you. You meet someone, or someone meets you, and then before, you know, in the world today we're very casual. So, someone meets someone. And then the next thing you want to do is to, you meet someone now, and the next thing you want to do is to start dating the person. You are stupid. You are stupid. Somebody, who is that brother? He said, we met last week, or we met last month. We met last 2 months. You met last 2 months, and you are dating. You are an idiot. Proverbs call you a foolish person because you don't know how to protect what is precious, God's plan. We can be acquaintances. Is it clear? We can get to know one another. Yeah, let's do the normal thing. Hi, it's fine. Then let's give this time. Then let opportunities show us who we are. Did you get it? But the more impactful an association is in your life, it's necessary for you to know it should come in the midst of your supernatural relationships. God wants you to get married in the midst of the supernatural relationships. And then don't say, I will marry. I will now turn into supernatural relationship. You're going to get into trouble that way. Because you know why you're going to get into trouble? You know why you're going to get into trouble? Because you can choose to want to function in God's image towards someone, and the person decides he or she will not what? Function in God's image towards you. What happens? What should you do in that instance? No such word, relationship. But look at it. You have now established the relationship. You are locked up. So a lot of people put themselves in prison because of their emotions and the way they feel. Rather than finding out God's plan. Rather than finding out God's plan, they act on how they feel. He makes me feel good. She makes me. It's not about how he or she makes you feel. It's about how what you're doing makes God feel. Is it clear? So that's the direction. That if I handle this well, God has an intention for every relationship. And his intention is to turn it into what? A supernatural one. So, what is a supernatural relationship? The supernatural relationships are people that, you know, God plants around me. God put them around me. Or people that now begin to serve God's plan for my life. If you look at Matthew chapter 4, you see Jesus, he goes by the Sea of Galilee. He goes by the Sea of Galilee and he found Simon Peter on the waters, catching fish with his brother James. Are we together? Are we together? He got there by the Sea of Galilee. And then he said to them, "It is come, follow me. And I will what? I will make you fishers of men. Follow me." In Mark chapter 3, the Bible says he called his disciples unto himself that they might be with him, that he would send them out. I think verse 14.
I think verse 14. That he might send them out. So that's an example of a supernatural relationship. That's an example of a supernatural relationship. So one of the four signs of supernatural relationships is that they help you to know the Lord. Did you see that? They help you to what? To know the Lord. The supernatural relationship. The first sign of a supernatural relationship is that they help you to know the Lord. Don't worry about that. There are also people who inspire you to serve the Lord. That's supernatural relationship. Man, students. They help you to know the Lord. That means when they came into your life, your knowledge of God increased. And I'm not talking about your information about God. I mean your experience. How many of you have people like that in our lives? Can I feel it? Amen. So it came into your life. And you became a better Christian. That is supernatural. They inspire you to serve the Lord. There are people that you cannot be comfortable around them when you are not serving the Lord. You're not comfortable around them. Not serving the Lord is not comfortable around them. Are we together? Those are supernatural relationships. So note those two things. Number one is what? They help you to what? To know the Lord. Number two is what? They inspire you to what? To serve the Lord. What are the people that do? They help you to know the Lord. Then they inspire me to serve you. Know the Lord better. I don't know the Lord better. I don't know the Lord better. What's the first one again? In contact, and now the Lord becomes more into Christianity. Became more into Christianity. Christianity becomes more into you. Became stronger in your knowledge of God. Your questions begin to get answered. Your understanding becomes deeper. Maybe you were not giving up on some things before, but now you now see that. How will I give up?
So they help you to know the Lord. They deepen your knowledge of the Lord. They deepen your knowledge of the Lord. Supernatural relationships. They deepen your knowledge of the Lord. There are people who deepen your knowledge of the Lord. They deepen your knowledge of God. They deepen your knowledge of God. They deepen your knowledge of the Lord. And they are sent to you. Praise God forevermore. They are sent to you. They know you. You know them. That's a supernatural relationship. You have a relationship with them. That means you talk, you interact, you have conversations. And in that interaction and conversations, you are made to know the Lord deeper. Thank you, guys. Praise God. That's a supernatural relationship. They help you to know the Lord. Number two is what? They inspire you to what? To serve the Lord. That means any time you feel bored, tired, weak, when you come around them, your strength is what? Is restored. Those are supernatural relationships. So we said, we have a duty to keep relationships. Because God works through relationships, we also have the duty to protect and to guard supernatural relationships, because God uses them more. Hallelujah. They inspire devotion. There are people like that. I have friends like that. That any time I'm around them. See, sometimes we might not even have started talking, just by being around them. Sometimes when I've seen for a while, the moment I come down from the vehicle, or I come, the moment I show up and they show up and I see them, my joy in the Lord is just strengthened. They give me memories. They remind me of what God has called me to do. They remind me of the supernatural instructions I've received. They remind me, like Paul would say in Colossians 4, he says, say unto Archippus, verse 17, take ease with the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Don't forget, we said God will locate you in the midst of what? Your relationships. In the midst of those supernatural relationships. So those are supernatural relationships. They inspire devotion. They inspire commitments. They are not people that compete with you. They are people that are all out for what God has called them to do. And God has put you in that company. So they inspire you. So we have a duty to keep those relationships and to protect them. And that's where we're going. So we said on Sunday. So, you know the difference between natural relationships now, right? And supernatural relationships. They are different. Don't mix apples with oranges. Is it clear? Know your supernatural relationships. And recognize what natural relationships are. And don't treat both the same way. Supernatural relationships. God planted them around you. God planted them around you. God planted you in the midst of them. Like a tree. God planted you there. Men that God had brought, had led you to, His divine hand upon your life led you to those men. As you were praying and you were trusting to serve God with your life, as you were believing to be a better Christian, as you were believing to walk in God's plan, to get serious with the Lord, as you were believing to get serious with God's plan for your life, God led you into the midst of those people. You don't come out from amongst them. You stay there. Later on, I'm going to tell you that one of the ways to keep supernatural relationship is to fight for them, not fight them. You fight for your supernatural relationships. Have you seen people fight for their marriages? I've seen men, I've seen women fight for their marriages. I've seen parents fight for their kids. I've seen kids fight for their parents' interests. Yes. I've seen children fight for their mother's interest, their father's interest. Go all the way, fight for their parents' interest. Maybe the parent is now at the point in their lives where they are not so agile bodily to do certain things. I've seen men, you know, young men who were their sons, get up and say, no. This is the right. My dad, this is his right. He worked this and worked in this organization and worked in that organization, and then you're just going to be, because he's now down with sickness. No, we are not going to take it. I've seen them. Two, three boys who were siblings, they got up and they fought for their father's rights and they got it. Millions of naira, they got it. And it wasn't selfish. It wasn't for their own benefit. They fought it. I know this man had spent his entire life fathering us. Now he's down, ill, and then some people want to just take all. No. They got up. And they fought. Made calls, traveled, used the police, went to court, dragged for months, and they spent their own money. They fought. So I've seen people fight for their natural relationships. Parents have fought me before for their kids. And then we don't understand what you are teaching them, and I've seen that. God wants you to also fight for your supernatural family. Your supernatural relationship. Are we together, church? And there's a way to do that. But look at it again. So we said, in guarding my relationship, I guard my relationship with God, and I guard supernatural relationships. Amen. And on Sunday, we said, how do I protect supernatural relationships? I said, number one is what? Is what? Prayer. Pray. Pray for that friendship. Pray for that friendship. Pray for that friendship. Pray. Pray for the supernatural relationships. Pray for your supernatural relationships. I told you, when we don't pray, we fall into carnality. Because when we do not pray, we begin to see those supernatural relationships as natural, ordinary. Ordinary. For example, you say, you know, there's a way you can say, oh, a relationship that probably supplies a material thing to you. And then you say, God will bring another person, right? I've heard people say things like that before. God will bring another person. And sometimes it happens. In fact, most times it happens. God will just raise help from another place. But you see, sometimes you don't know that supernatural relationships are different. Supernatural relationships are different from natural relationships. Today, someone can get up and just divorce the spouse. A woman can get up and say, I'm not doing it again. A man can get up and say, I'm not doing it again. So you just divorce the marital relationship. That is natural. But supernatural relationship is not like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. You see, when it comes to supernatural relationships, one thing about God is that God does not have another one. He doesn't have another one. So while God might raise another helper materially, God does not have another supernatural relationship for you. What you need to fulfill his plan, he has put it into that person. So that particular person has been wired for you. Supernatural relationship. Did you get it? You get it? That particular person has been prepared, wired for you. That is not marriage. That is not business. So while an investor can shut down his resources towards you, you can seek for another investor. A business partner can leave, you can seek for another business partner. A neighbor can leave, another one will what? We move in, right? People divorce and remarry. Sometimes people even lose their kids, amen. And another of the children, there is another, you know, or sometimes people who don't have children, they even have a way of adopting. So natural relationships have that ease at which they can be replaced, but supernatural relationships are not like that. They are not like that. So supernatural relationships actually function like your supernatural habitat. That is the environment that is built for you. Did you get it? I'm asking, did you get it? That is the environment that is what? Built for you. So unlike natural relationships that you can easily replace this. The guy says, not doing it again. Oh yeah, my brother can allow you to carry your bicycle. I will buy another bicycle. When we were young, some just say, a friend in the neighborhood. I don't know what the parents are telling the child. Then just discover something that the guy just changed. And then sometimes the parents notice that this boy is acting towards you as changed. All right, no. If he says he's not going to be your friend, you don't call your friend. Don't worry. Another friend will come. Those are natural relationships. And naturally, they get replaced. Naturally. Are we together? But when it comes to supernatural relationships, they are not like that. They are not like that. They are not like that. Supernatural relationships are supernatural habitats. So God puts you among them. God brings them around you. Is it clear? He leads you to them. And by then you observe supernatural relationships so that there are people you are active in the Lord. And they are supernatural. So as you are being a supernatural relationship of people in them, you also observe that that's a supernatural relationship. There are some people also that are what? Influencing you. Well, and both are working together. So in supernatural relationships, there are no relationships that you divorce or come out of. There are relationships through which we found God's plan. We continuously find God's plan. Supernatural relationships. Relationships through which we continually discover the unfolding of God's plan. Notice I told you that we function in what? Association, isn't it? That is, we are deficient by what? In isolation. Naturally, we are created deficient, and we are created to be sufficient through what? Association. So that is the association through which you become what? Sufficient. Supernatural family. Supernatural relationship. I've been using family relationships. Supernatural relationship. That's what I can say. So you discover that you cannot find God's plan on your own. It took both individuals to God's plan. Are we together? Are we together? It took those individuals for you to do what? Imagine. So God's plan is now getting unfolded. You discover that, look at it. Sometimes you are not very discerning or smart. You discover that anytime you are away from that association, you begin to feel it. Anytime you are away, it could be geographically, it could be in communication. There are some people, just by keeping communication alone, just by continuously communicating, it guarantees you that you are going to remain a strong and a fruitful Christian. Just by continuing communication, just by keeping the communication, those are supernatural relationships. There are people that you jest, yes, you jest, you jest, you will laugh, you play, you discuss life, you even talk about money. You talk about marriage. You talk about virtually everything. But let's talk about that. In the midst of it, the way the conversation goes, by the time it is done, you are inspired to serve God more. You are inspired. Boredom has left. Tiredness has gone. Discouragement has gone. You spoke about money, you spoke about material things, you spoke about people, you spoke about associations, you spoke about life. So it's not even all the time that you'll be talking about Bible, say, hello, how are you? Good morning. We are not going to last week. Why did Joshua mention that to Caleb? No, not that. Not someone that you have not spoken to in 3 weeks. You just speak your phone and say, how are you? He say, what's up? How you there? I just want to check on you. I'm fine. You know, I've been actually thinking for the last 2 weeks that why did Paul? No. There are people you talk about natural things, but in the midst of it, devotion is inspired because of the way they go about it. They inspire you to trust God. They pray for you. They pray with you. You can't be friends with this person and you have not studied your Bible. You can't be close friends with this person and it does not make you to want to pray. By the time you discuss life, ministry, by the time you are done with the call, you feel like going out and getting so busy also for the Lord. Not out of competition, but out of inspiration. Those are supernatural relationships. What's the first thing to do about them? I do what? I pray. Pray. So the very first thing we do is that we handle our relationships with prayer. Pray about supernatural relationships. When we don't, carnality begins to set in. Because we begin to lose consciousness of what is supernatural about that word, relationship. Are we together? We pray. I told you, when we don't pray, what happens? Strife. How does strife come in? When we don't pray, look at it. Our differences become clearer to us. Differences. As differences become clearer, are we together? As differences become clearer, competition sets in. I give you an example of Joseph's brothers. Nobody needs to tell you that his brothers were not conscious of God's plan for the world, for the boy. They weren't. They were not even conscious of God's plan for themselves. And they knew. They knew. Because God has spoken to Rebekah about the two nations in him and what will come out of the two nations. God spoke to Abraham and they knew. But after a while, the boys grew up. Are we together? The boys grew up. The boys grew up. You had two from, what's her name? Is that Leah? Right? Right? And then you have ten from Leah, two from Rachel. Are we together? So the boys grew up. Those ten guys grew up and they didn't see what was supernatural among them again. They didn't see it again. So when we are not spiritual, very importantly, through prayer, we are bound to see differently from God's plan. You will be seeing what you should not be seeing. What do they call it in Yoruba? Irikuri. You will be seeing what you should not be seeing. Are you with me? Look at it. Suddenly, because you are not praying, because these two sisters are not praying for themselves, natural relationship ordained of God. If you are supernaturally minded and you hear how they came together and what is happening to the two of them through one another, you won't struggle to know that this is a supernatural relationship. But look at it, after a while, when they don't pray for one another again, she begins to see the differences between them in a way that it does not help build the relationship. She begins to see the things that he or she should not observe in that relationship. I told you, competition begins to set in. What is competition? Competition is that you have realized that this person and I, are we together? Are chasing the same result. It's not, what's it called, go around. And I can't afford the benefit to have it. I don't have. It's competition. So competition begins to set in, and they become conscious of what they should not, rather than being conscious of God's plan. Now, how does a man who is conscious of God's plan behave when she has and she doesn't have? She sees her own having. Pay attention. Are we together? Are we together? When A has and B doesn't have, A sees are having as a reason why B should not suffer. Did you see that? Did you see that? And B is not jealous that the resource is with A and not with B. Because both are conscious of God's plan. Are we together? Are we together? Look at 1 Timothy 6. Quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. 1 Timothy 6. I'll speak for some 10 more minutes. I'll close. First Timothy 6. Are you there? Read verse 17. Want to go? Want to go? Charge them that are what? Rich in this world means they have abundance of material things, okay? Notice they say they are rich in God. In the epistles, you come across statements rich in God, riches in His glory. But here it says rich in this world. That means they have money, they have material things, they are materially blessed. Is it clear? So Paul tells Timothy, which is the pastor of the church, to do what? To charge them, that they be not what? High-minded, nor trust in the what? Of certain riches, but they trust in the living God, who gives what? Who giveth what? He giveth us richly, all things to what? Notice this, say he gives them richly. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Read on. That they do what? That they do good, rich in good works, ready to what? Distribute, We lean to what? That communication, is it talking or communicating resources? Did you see that? To share. Is that what you have here? Willing to share. Thank you. So that's communicate. What translation is that? Wow. Okay. So willing to share. Did you see that? So it shows you how the godly minded, the spiritual minded handles resources. Did you see that? When resources get in the hands of a spiritual man, suddenly he is no more seen as the only one who has. It goes round. It goes round. When resources get into the hands of a spiritual man, he does what? He goes round. He goes round. So that is how to handle resources spiritually. Spiritually. When we are spiritual minded. So, you now see what I mean by the differences. So, the one who is not spiritually minded now begins to see the other as materially poor. So, before you know it, you start asking, why is this person my friend? So, you start saying, some things that make sense to you. He said, how do they say those things? That if you want to be like someone, if you want to get into a particular circle, you move with people in that circle. Abi. So before you know it, things like that begin to make sense to you. Deplete the strength of your supernatural relationship. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, quickly. Acts 2. So that's what I mean by differences. The one who doesn't have begins to see himself as not having, causes issue. The one who has begins to see himself as he has, and why should he relate? Did you see that? Why should he relate? So I begin to see things I should not see. my attention has left the supernatural plan. My attention has left the supernatural plan. When I don't pray, my attention will leave the supernatural. Did you see that? When I don't pray, my attention will leave the supernatural. Will leave the supernatural. When I don't pray, my attention will leave the supernatural. I start seeing things I should not see. So look at me, church, because I want to close. When I start being conscious, or whenever I start losing consciousness of God's supernatural plan in that relationship, is a sign that what? I have stopped what? Praying for that relationship. Does that make sense to you? I have stopped praying. When I don't see it at all, and I say, when I stop being conscious, when I start losing consciousness of the supernatural plan, when I don't even see the supernatural plan at all, it could be a sign I've never prayed about a relationship. Are we together? So I start seeing things I should not be seeing. Look at Acts 2. Are you there? 42. Quickly. Acts 2:42 with me. Read on. All that did what? All that believed, read on. We are what? Together. They had what? Wait. Notice what you did not read. It didn't say they had all things in common. It didn't say that. What did you read? They had all things what? Common. What's the difference? Look at it. They had all things in common. Means that the clothes you have, she also what? Has that cloth. You also have what? That cloth. He also has that what? Clothes. The car you have, she also have what? The car. He also have the car. That having all things what? In common. But when he says they had all things common, look at what it means. It means his car was available to you. Did you see that? His car was available to you. They had all things what? Common. So what all who had, what they had was available to all, including those who didn't have it. It's a sign, are we together, that you are praying. That you are conscious of the supernatural plan. Don't forget the background. What was the background? The background was that they had spoken with tongues, right? Right? They had spoken with tongues. There had been a move of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 had gotten saved when Peter preached. The 3,000 now stayed together. They now continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' what? 42 in the apostles' what? Doctrine. What was the next thing mentioned? Fellowship, breaking of bread, and what? Did you see that? So, prayers. They continue steadfastly in prayers. So, the fruit of that is that they are conscious of God's supernatural plan. In the midst of that consciousness, or through that consciousness, they will not see differences. This one has not gained admission. This one has gained admission. It will not be it will not be acted upon. Are we together? Is it clear? It will not be the business of interaction. And I'm a final year student. This one has not gotten admission. It will not be the basis of interaction. I have gotten a job. This one has not gotten any job. It will not be what? The basis of interaction. Look at this. I am the boss. He is the slave. We read Philemon, right? So boss slave, it will not be what? So it says, you receive him. It is not only as a what? As a servant. Now as a what? Brother what? Beloved. Did you see that? Brother beloved. So it will not be the basis of what? Interaction. Did you see that? Did you see that? It will not be the basis of what? Interaction. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So they had all things common. Look at Acts 4. Praise God. By Acts 4, look at verse 32. Read on. They of what? The multitude that believe were what? One heart and of what? So, can you see what happens in the supernatural relationship? One heart and what? One soul. So, you will not be conscious of the things you learn. You shouldn't be conscious of. Did you see that? One heart, one. Does that sound like one consciousness? One mindedness? Does it sound like one focus? Thank you. So look at the next thing. Now, look at what preceded it. What preceded it? Look at 22. Read 22. And when they had added, they did what? And did what? So all that they were doing, look at verse 28. 29. Verse 30. So all they were saying and doing this morning in verse 31 was described as what? Prayer. Did you see that? The whole place was what? Shaking together where they were assembled. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? And the multitude of them that which believe were what? Of one heart. Did you see what prayer does? Prayer ensures that the consciousness is the same, God's plan. So anytime my consciousness is getting tampered with, is a sign that you are not what? Praying in that relationship. Did you see that? Look at the next thing that happens. The money of them that believe one and one soul. Either what? Said any of them that out of the things which he possessed what was. You see that? Read the text. 32, everyone. They had all things what? Come on. Look at verse 34. Uh-huh. Amen. So, can you see that? I'd like to go back home and just read and observe. So that's what prayer does. See, prayer is such that the only thing that can do its work is prayer. Prayer is such that the only thing that can do the work of prayer is what? Is prayer. It's unique. Prayer is that is one of those things that nothing else can do its work. So that means it is very easy to observe the fruit of what? Not praying. Because you can't make it up using something else. You can't make it up using something else. You can't make it up using something else. So look at this. I now said, on Sunday, I said, that relationship, I said, maintain how it started. And what I mean by that is, maintain the consciousness of how it started. Never forget how the relationship was started. I'll close there. Did you see that? Did you see that? When it comes to supernatural relationships, number one, pray for them. Number two, never lose consciousness of how what? Start. Don't lose consciousness of how you came into the church. Don't lose consciousness of how it started. What were you doing that brought you guys together? Never forget that we came together because we were praying. Did you see that? Did you see that? Never forget that we came together because we were preaching, studying God's word. Never forget that we came together because we loved the Lord. Never forget. Not even when you get married. Not even when you start doing business together. You can after a while start doing business together. Never ever forget how it started. Are we together? The last one I'll say, you can pray for me. I said, do not entertain conversations that do not what? Build the relationship. Don't. See, I have a quote. I'll say it to you today. I have a quote. And it has kept me in the ministry for long. It has kept me being blessed and blessed for long. I have a quote. For my supernatural relationships, that is, if someone blesses me in the Lord uniquely, I said, this person's role, God uses a lot of people around me. When you say this person's role is unique, someone like my pastor, Revolution knowing that. If you like, remove your forehead. Remove your what? Your forehead from your skull. If you like, remove your forehead. If your attempt is to get me to be conscious of their wrongs, if your attempt is to get me to be conscious of their faults, if you like, remove your forehead. It will not work. It will not work. What do I mean by that? I don't fellowship around wrong information about them. I don't. I will not give you attention. I will not give you attention. Because we are products of what? Influence. See, whosoever God has planted around you. Now, this goes both ways, those you are influencing, but especially those who influence you. Never ever entertain wrong conversation about them. Don't. It even goes generally to whosoever God is using. Whosoever God is using. Are you listening to me, church? I'll close here tonight. Whosoever God is using, be careful around them. Don't even say God is using me too. No. If you say that, God might stop using you for saying that. Yes. If you say that, God is using me too. If that's your defensive whatever, but God is using me too. God can stop using you for saying that. Whosoever God is using, you see the hand of God on that fellow. Are we together? And this use of God is in levels. Did God use Miriam for Moses? Did God use Miriam for Moses? But through whom did Miriam become a prophetess? Through Moses. Can you see the way God works? God now gave her leprosy for speaking against that same Moses after a while. The benefit that you were washing bonbon when he was putting on the body. You need to go and call Nani. Moses went on the waters under the sight of Miriam. She kept her eyes on the boy. That was how useful she was in preserving the little boy. But hey, God's hand is now on him. Honor the hand of God. When we dishonor men that God uses, it is not those men we are dishonoring. It is God that we are dishonoring. Don't entertain conversations about that friend. You know, we have gone beyond don't start it, right? If we say don't entertain, that means don't start it. Don't start it. Don't hold conversations about men that God is using for you. Those God is using for you, don't entertain conversations that tarnish their image. Satan will get you. He will get you. You will think it's about that person. It's about that office. As I told you, all of these blogs online that talk about pastors. It is not the person that they are talking about in that blog that the enemy is after. The enemy is after the office called pastors. So when you are done with that blog, discover that entire office loses image in your heart. That shows that you are in danger. The one that is walking, the God of this world, Satan, he knows what he's doing. The blogger is the puppet. The blogger doesn't know, but Satan knows. And you are the target, not the blogger. The blogger is not the target. You that are just scrolling Facebook, you are the target of Satan. You are the one. You are the one they're targeting. The target of Satan is not even those that are in his prison, under his control in the world. The target of Satan are believers in the churches already under good pastors. But because you are not smart, so you too, you like it. So next time your own pastor is now talking, you are weighing it. You are now weighing it. So the voice of God now sounds like the voice of mere men to you. You are gone. You are gone. So if you like it, it's 20 minutes video. So you watch it. Since you are jobless and useless with your time. So you watch it. And they will cram those things such that, you know, it will attract like comments. The person is making money. The only person that did not gain from watching that thing and became worse was you. Facebook gained the platform. The blogger gained because there was engagement. Satan gained because the message got into your heart. You, the gullible one, was the only one who lost. So you don't give attention. You scroll past it. After a while, by the time I scroll, I say, why is that glory didn't bring me? You know, there's this saying that says that, show me your friends, right? And I'll tell you who you are. You know, it has changed. It is now, show me your glory didn't. And I will tell you who you are. Why is the internet always bringing that kind of post? Because you fellowship around it a lot. I hope you know that's how algorithm works. Yes. By the time you start something online, maybe on Google, you start seeing it on Facebook or Instagram. Or maybe you watched one. Some of these movies, they just do excerpts of the movie, like 30 seconds. By the time you watch 30 seconds, by the time you scroll past 1, 2, 3 different other posts, you will see another excerpt of the same movie again. That's it. So, show me your glory day. I will tell you who you are. Why are you fellowshipping around? No fellowship around. So I'll drop you with those three, and then we'll continue what you do on Sunday. Number one, prayer. Soak your relationships in prayer all the time. Satan wants to get into your relationship. Satan wants to get into your relationship. He couldn't get Adam, but through Eve. He will come with people who you have given access. Soak them in prayer. Did you see that? He couldn't get Adam. He had to come through who? He had to come through who? He had to come through Eve. Later on, he couldn't get Jesus. He tried to come through Peter. Imagine sister. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. But that servant is not the thing of God, but the things of flesh. He was trying to get Jesus. He had come during the fast, turned him away, interactions with the Pharisees, turned him away. Then he came later on to Peter, and Jesus spotted him. See, you must spot the Satan in those conversations. You must spot Satan. You must spot Satan. See, I spot Satan. You must spot Satan immediately. Yeah, I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about. I'm telling you that you must spot Satan. Someone came to me saying, "I want us to pray for this fellow." You know, who was. Someone came to me about a closer friend. He's a more distant friend. Now came say, "I think we really need to pray for Pastor so and so." I say, "Okay, when can we pray?" Say, you know, I want us to wait. You want us to pray, right? Yes. When can we pray? Because I see now that what you want to do is that you want to start telling me things that you didn't. I don't need the knowledge of the Pope to pray, except you want to gossip. So, how do you expect me to now supplicate details? You don't have to tell me. The Lord knows, right? Yes. We will pray for him. Because this one is about to turn towards the gospel. Because at the end of the day, then I say, she could see. And I say, it's well. Tell me now. It's well. 2 minutes have gone. We have not prayed. By then, you now start talking. I say, I didn't hear that one. Can you say that? I'm living disappointed. Oh no. Imagine I'll not say, oh no. No. Karabakara. No. We should pray for him, right? Alright, let's what? Can we start praying now? You don't even want to hear. Can we start pray. We already know what the scriptures say we should pray for people. Is it that? We don't need the knowledge of their faults to pray for them. The scriptures already tell us what to pray for when we are praying for ministers. Did you say that? Did you see that? There was a time Paul just said, pray for us, for we trust we have the what? Good conscience. Willing to live what? Honestly. Pray for us. That is not... See, the very fact that we know God's plan for ministers is already enough prayer point. You don't need the details. Those who care about you don't need the details. Those who want the details don't care. Let us pray. So we pray about our relationships. And prayer will make power available, right? To change people, to change circumstances, to change events. But look at what prayer will also do. Prayer will help you to stay what? Conscious of God's supernatural plans. You have lost the battle. If you did every other thing right, but lost the consciousness of God's supernatural plan, you have still lost. But you have won the battle if you can maintain the consciousness of God's supernatural plan. Between you and the person, you are still conscious of God's supernatural plan. God can still use the relationship. So we must give ourselves to the very activity that keeps us. Talk about that, Monica. Number two, Read your note now. What's the second point I gave you? What is the third thing I gave you? Don't entertain those conversations. So number one, you pray. Number two, never lose consciousness of how we started. Why you started. What God brought you together to do. Never lose the consciousness of what God brought you together to do. Never. What did God bring us together to do? See, even when you get married. See, two people can get married and there are no more supernatural relationships. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They can destroy themselves. Two of you, you were now better apart and alone than when you came together. That's terrible. Because when you were alone and single, you were serving God, you were fervent. Now that two of you, two fervent Christians, got married, you now became worse. Is to show you that you have made a mistake and you have been careless. Satan can enter into associations. Are we together? Satan can enter into associations. So, why did we come together? Even when you get married, why did we meet one another? I liked you because you were fervent, you were serving the Lord, you were given to the service of God. Yeah. I got close to you because you honor the things of God, you love God, you love serving the church. I became your friend because you love preaching, teaching. You inspired me to serve and to know the Lord. I came close to you. We started talking because you always inspire me to be devoted, to pray, to study my Bible, to go on evangelism, to serve in the church. That was why I came close. What are we doing now? You mustn't lose consciousness of how that relationship started. Thirdly, keep toxicity away. Keep your environment clean. No conversations. Will it build the relationship? Will it strengthen the relationship? Will it help me to receive the person more? No conversations. If at all you have something to say that really, really needs to explain the fault of somebody, you know who to go. Go to our leader. Did you see that? Go to the person's leader. Go talk. Go talk to the person that can restore that person who had faulted. But to create a conversation and information, a gist out of the event in the name of sharing. No. If you are interested in the person being strengthened and restored and healed, if you are interested in the person getting back on track, take the conversation to the person that can carry out that function over that person. Did you get it? But you now come to me and gist. No. Are we together? Are we receiving wisdom? Right. So tomorrow again we're going to pray. And we have been praying since Monday about our relationships. And we'll take time to pray about our supernatural relationships, men and women that God has put around us. Many of them are in the church. Maybe one or two or a few folks are outside the church. People that God has planted around you to help you to know Him. And sometimes also, God uses a supernatural relationship till He brings you into another one. Just like you find Timothy in the church until Paul came around. So Paul now comes around and finds Timothy in that church. He now continues there. Sometimes relationships can be transitional. God can use a supernatural relationship for you until He brings the main supernatural relationships around. Are we together? But we must also maintain thanksgiving and the same Christian ministerial ethics towards every relationship that God had used for us. We must remain spiritual. We must pray for them. More than entertain toxicity, and we must maintain the consciousness of how those relationships started. Have you been blessed tonight? Let's just rise up to our feet and just pray in the spirit and pray over again supernatural relationships and our natural relationships. Again, just go ahead and just speak some words of prayer. Pray in the spirit. Go ahead, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Yeah. Just pray. Just talk in tongues. Just pray in the spirit. Yeah, just speak words, you know, in the spirit over those relationships around you. Family, siblings. Yes, siblings. Yeah. There are no difficulties. My relationships follow God's divine plan. Yes, they follow. And I have God's wisdom. I have wisdom to lead and to direct my relationships in God's plan. Yes. Oh yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. My relationships. They follow God's plan. Natural relationships, they follow God's plan. Supernatural relationships, they are kept and are made wise. I'm made wise by the Spirit of God. I am wise. I don't entertain false and faulty conversations. I'm wise. I keep my consciousness on the supernatural plan of God. Yes. And I pray, Lord, I commit myself to pray more. I commit myself to pray more over my relationships. Yeah. So I can keep my supernatural consciousness. So you can keep using me for these men and women. So you can keep using men for me. Yes. That also means there's more to draw. If you have drawn some things from, you know, these men and women God has placed around you, that means there is more to draw. More to the Lord in 2026, I'm open. So I can draw more. I can draw more direction, more strengthening. I can draw more encouragement. I can draw more boldness, more consciousness of the supernatural plan. I can draw more insight into your divine plans and purposes. I can draw more support. Lord, I am open. I pray.